You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
The boss of one of the world's biggest energy firms is warning households don't expect energy bills to fall back to pre-pandemic prices. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Yes, Anders Opedal is the chief executive of the Norwegian oil and gas giant Equinor. He was speaking to the BBC's Sean Farrington as he headed to the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. Sean told me what he had to say.
He had a lot to say about where prices might go in the next few months, but also the prospects for the years ahead. So wholesale prices rose as COVID restrictions began to ease, but they then soared again after Russia escalated its invasion of Ukraine last year. But with warmer than expected weather across Europe this winter, we've seen those prices begin to fall. And Equinor, the Norwegian energy giant, used to be known as Statoil. It's one of Europe's biggest gas suppliers. And Anders Opedal was talking to me about gas prices, windfall taxes, the transition to greener energy, all of these kind of things. But he was particularly interesting, I thought, on whether as households around the world, we would be able to afford the transition to greener energy, even though gas prices are currently falling right now.
We see actually a kind of a rewiring of the whole energy system in Europe in particular. You know, after the gas from Russia was taken away, we need massive more renewables. We need to kind of do the industry in a totally different way, maybe using more hydrogen and so on. This will require a lot of investments, and these investments needs to be paid. So I would assume that the energy bills will maybe slightly be higher than in the past, but not as volatile and high as we have today.
And Sean, as we mentioned, Mr. Opedal, one of some 600 odd CEOs, 50 heads of government heading to Davos in the Swiss Alps this week, sometimes seen as a bit of a talking shop, but I wonder how high this issue might be on the agenda there this year.
Definitely is a talking shop. There'll be lots of talking, and no doubt because of the cost of living squeeze, so many of the customers, whether they're households or businesses, of those leaders who will be at this meeting this week, no doubt energy prices and energy supply are high up the agenda there. How governments plan to help them feels particularly pertinent this year. Now, ordinarily, pre-pandemic, we'd be talking about the leaders of some of the world's biggest economies, but not this year. No presidents from the United States, China, France, or the UK. The German Chancellor's going. The EU president is going as well. And I was talking to Sadia Zahidi about this, a managing director at the World Economic Forum who organized this event.
2023, top of the agenda, energy supply crisis. Year two, so 2 years out, that actually remains fairly high. So the cost of living crisis, the combined costs of energy and food and other things that are affecting people's daily lives, is supposed to remain high in the 2 year agenda. But 10 years out, the top risks really end up being the failure to mitigate climate change.
Sadia Zahidi of the World Economic Forum there, talking about some of the big issues that they think they'll be talking about at Davos, Sean. And it always looks an impressive list, doesn't it? An impressive shopping list of issues that are going to be tackled. Perhaps because we've done this for a while, sometimes be a little cynical about how much actually comes out of these events. Just remind listeners, though, what is the significance from the World Economic Forum's point of view and from these leaders' point of view? Why do so many top CEOs still go to what is ostensibly a ski resort in the middle of nowhere?
Yep, it definitely is. And it sounds like a nice trip. I was actually chatting to Anders Opedal. You know, he's a big skier, he was telling me. No chance for any skiing in Switzerland for him this week. That's more when he's back at home on holiday and having a bit of a break. It's a rare opportunity to be in the same place as so many chief executives all at the same time. Whether it achieves anything in the longer run is a different matter. But I guess you pass a certain critical mass, don't you? If a certain number of bosses are going to be there, then you want to be there yourself as well, in the mix, not wanting to miss out. Is there a FOMO about Davos for business leaders? Maybe there is. But yeah, we'll give it a few days and we'll see whether they've actually come up with anything to take us forward over the coming years.
Any FOMO that you didn't get the invite this year?
No, I'm all right back here. Thank you very much.
The BBC Sean Farrington, presenter of our Wake Up to Money programme. Thanks so much for speaking to us.
Thanks very much.
Let's take a look at those commodity prices now as we do the numbers. Yeah, Brent crude oil off 0.25% today at $85 a barrel. Natural gas futures up 4.5% at $3.58. Important context, though, that's still down 15% on the year. Well, let's take you to Mexico now, where the government has banned smoking in all public places, as the BBC's Will Grant in Mexico City reports.
There will also be a total ban on the advertising, promotion and sponsorship of tobacco products, meaning that cigarettes cannot even be on show inside shops. Vapes and e-cigarettes are also subject to tighter new restrictions, particularly indoors. The Pan American Health Organization has welcomed the step. However, some smokers are dismayed. In essence, it means that many will only be allowed to smoke in their homes or other private residences. With police corruption so rampant in Mexico, many fear that rather than issuing real fines or punishments for smoking in public, some officers will use it as a pretext for taking bribes.
The Central European nation of Croatia rang in the new year with a new currency, the euro. Croatia also joined the EU's visa-free travel bloc known as Schengen, but not everything has gone completely smoothly, as the BBC's Guy Delaunay found out in the Croatian capital, Zagreb.
Only the very brave or the very foolish would dare to come between a Croatian and their coffee. But the adoption of the euro has added some unwelcome friction to the froth on top of the morning cappuccino. Some cafes have been accused of taking advantage of people's unfamiliarity with euro pricing.
We paid 6 euros only for two coffees and one cola. And I was like shocked for a second. It's a big difference.
All this rising of the prices start in June, and it really didn't stop from there to now. Now it's like highlight, but it will be even worse.
That's the price some people feel they're paying for Croatia's adoption of a new currency. But at this cash machine in Zagreb's Flower Square, the benefits are equally obvious. For the first time, I've been able to withdraw euros rather than Croatia's previous currency, the kuna. That's certainly handy for an international traveller, and the governor of Croatia's National Bank, Boris Vujčić, says it's good for locals as well.
It's very important that we manage to eliminate this foreign exchange risk completely now by adopting the euro. So now everything, income, is in the same currency as the debt. There's no foreign exchange risk. It is not built into the interest rates. The costs of doing business are also lower. Investment attractiveness of Croatia is higher now.
Tourism is Croatia's biggest business. It accounts for about a fifth of the country's GDP. Now, getting to the coast and spending money there will be significantly easier for European tourists. Dubravko Mihalic is an advisor to the Croatian Tourist Board.
Definitely with the Croatian Schengen area, Slovenia, Austria, Slovakia, Hungary, all these neighbors, and even in Czech Republic, we expect that will be more tourists which will come for the weekend and which will come for the longer weekend.
Croatians might be in a froth at the moment as they get used to their new currency, but the experience of neighbouring Slovenia suggests that it won't be long before they're reaping the benefits of Eurozone and Schengen membership, and that would be sweet indeed.
The BBC's Guy Delaunay reporting from Zagreb there, and I've been Will Bain with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.